Hey guys, thanks for joining us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to our previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, download our app in the App Store for your iPhone or Android device. Or you can join us online at www.thebridgechurchva.com. We hope this week's message speaks to you in a new way, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
And one of the things that I wanted to do as we started this year and as you go to begin this year is I wanted to give us a series that I hope will help us to walk in freedom, that will help us to walk in everything that God has for us this year, that we would not be people any longer who are held in bondage, that we would be a free people, that we would walk in the freedom and the liberty and the power that God wants for our lives. Do you want that for your life this year? Like, do you want to walk in freedom this year? Come on, somebody. Amen. And so today we're starting a five-week series, and maybe a six-week, depending on how the Spirit leads. But we're starting a series that we're calling Breaking Free. Breaking Free, because I believe that for too long, many of us have been walking in bondage. And I want you to know something, that you can know Jesus. You can have a relationship with Jesus, and you can come to church service, and you could have said yes to him and dedicated your life to him, and you can still be walking in bondage. Yeah. I don't know if you knew that or not. Like you can have a relationship with him. You could have received his grace and be connected to him and be a part of the family of God, and you can still be walking in bondage. You can still be walking as a hostage. You can still be walking in as a prisoner to different things, whether it's a prisoner to your emotions, whether it's a prisoner to anger, whether it's a prisoner to lust, whether it's a prisoner in your mind. Like, you can still be walking in bondage. So in other words, Jesus has saved us. He has put us in his family, but day in and day out, he is still cleansing us. And there are still some things from yesterday that got to be rectified. There are still some things from our lives where we need to be set free from. And I believe in Jesus' name that this year you can experience that freedom. Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. I thought I'm gonna get a few more amens. Amen, somebody. Like, this can be the year where you can walk in freedom. That it's not just enough for you just to say, I got a relationship with him and I'm going to heaven. But if you're a follower of Christ, and even if you're not a follower of Christ, no, he wants to set you free. So for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about some different things that we need to be free from. We're going to be talking about being free from addictions. We're going to be talking about being free from this word that I'm going to use throughout today's sermon and for the next few weeks, this word called stronghold, which I'll talk more about in a moment, but how we need to be free from sexual strongholds and financial strongholds and other type of strongholds in our life. And so I want to encourage you, you don't need to miss any part of this series. Like, this is not the series to say, oh, I'm going to just watch it online, you know, and watch it on the app or catch it on Facebook Live. No. I want you to be here each and every week, and I want you to bring people with you that you know are struggling, that you know are dealing with different things. We're going to be talking about mental health and the struggle with that and how some people are dealing with bondage in that area in some capacity. Like this series is all about helping you experience freedom. Amen. Freedom from your past. Freedom from wounds that have happened. It must be hitting home because it's real quiet right now. Ain't nobody saying nothing. We just in bondage, huh? And so my hope and prayer is that for the next few weeks, man, you're going to experience freedom. That you don't walk around any longer carrying burdens, that you don't walk around anymore under strongholds. And so this is going to be the verse that we use as a theme verse for our series. It comes out of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish, everybody say it together, strongholds, strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought. Do you not understand that every bondage, and I'm gonna talk more about it in a moment, begins with a thought. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Go back earlier. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And this series is all about getting you free of strongholds, of you being broken free from the strongholds that you may not even know you are operating under. Strongholds that may have been guiding your life and that are still guiding your life today. What is a stronghold? A stronghold, in its simplest form and definition, at its core, here's what a stronghold is. It's real deep. It's a lie. That's what it is. It is a lie that keeps you a prisoner. It keeps you from being able to move forward. It keeps you from being able to do things like trust people again, from loving again. It is a lie that keeps you hostage to your past, to convince you that you are what you did yesterday, and that because of what you did yesterday, that has now disqualified your future. It is a lie. Matter of fact, Beth Moore, she says it like this: a stronghold is anything that exalts itself in our minds, pretending to be bigger or more powerful than our God. Pretending to be bigger or more powerful than our God, which is why Paul says that we demolish arguments and every pretension, meaning it is false, meaning it is fake, meaning it is inauthentic. It is a knockoff brand. It is the fake cereal versus the real cereal. It is not real. And oftentimes what happens is we find ourselves operating under these pretenses. But I want you to know something today, that no matter what stronghold and no matter what type of thing you've been held hostage by, God brought you here today to hear the start of this series, to let you know that no matter the stronghold that is over your life right now, no matter the pretension that is over your life right now, in Jesus' name, God wants to set you free of it. That he wants you to experience freedom from every stronghold, from every pretension, from every grip that the enemy has. Which leads me to the main scripture that I want to talk about today in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, you have this story from the beginning of the world and the beginning of the earth, in which God created all things. God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1 talks a lot about that. He made light. He created light. He created all the creatures of the earth. And then he also created mankind, beginning first with Adam. And then he created his wife named Eve. But here in chapter 3, you see something that begins to happen. That in the midst of there being this perfect harmony between humanity and God, and this perfect harmony in the Garden of Eden, it now experienced a disruption. That it begins to shift. It goes from a place of joy to a place of darkness. It goes from a place of freedom to now we see stepping on the scene bondage, which is where some of us are right now. Some of us right now are in this place of bondage. And what happens here in Genesis chapter 3, it represents how us and how we too end up in bondage. Here's chapter 3, just a few verses I'm going to read, and then I'm going to dig in a little bit further. It says, "Now the serpent was the most cunning of all the wild animals that the Lord God made. And he said to the woman, 'Did God really say, you can't eat from any tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, but about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you must not eat it or touch it, or you will die.' Serpent says, 'No, you will not die. In fact, God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' And the woman saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to look at, and that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom. So she took some of its fruit and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So the Lord God called out to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Verse 11, then he asked, who told you that you were naked? Did you eat from the tree that I commanded you to eat, not to eat from? Verse 11, the first part. Who told you that you were naked? Who told you that? Where'd you get that from? I want to preach from this thought today. Breaking free from the lies we believe. Breaking free from the lies we believe. Matter of fact, can you ask the person sitting next to you? You may not know him, so it may be a little awkward, but it'll be okay, I promise you. Can you ask them this question? What lies are you believing? What lies are you believing? What lies are you believing? Why is this such an important question to ask? Because here in Genesis chapter 3, after God has created the heavens and the earth and he's created Adam and Eve to be in perfect harmony and be in perfect fellowship of freedom in God, all of a sudden you see it take a turn for the worse. They go from being in freedom to now being in bondage. And at the core of it, at the core of this bondage that they are experiencing, if you're taking notes, is this: deception. They go from a place of freedom to a place of bondage, and it happened beginning with deception. I want you to know something today, that at the core of any bondage that you and I deal with in our life, there is a lie. There is a deception. There is something that is false there. Notice what the enemy does in verse 1. Now the serpent was the most cunning of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden? Notice what Eve responds with next in verse 2. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, but about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you must not eat it or touch it or you will die. Notice verse 4. No, you will not die, the serpent said to the woman. In fact, God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Why is this so profound here? I want you to see what's happening. God has spoken the truth to Adam and Eve. And it goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, when it says, the Lord God took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and watch over it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for on the day you eat from it, you will certainly die. This was what God spoke to them in Genesis chapter 2, before we even see the serpent come in chapter 3. But now in chapter 3, notice what the serpent does. And I want you to know that this serpent is Satan himself. In Revelation chapter 12, verses 3, around verses 3, verse 9, it talks about how the devil or Satan is referred to as the ancient serpent. What is the ancient serpent? The serpent that we see here in Genesis 3. This is Satan hiding in plain sight. This is Satan masquerading as a serpent. And notice what he does when he first appears. He questions the word of God. He says to Eve, did God really say you can't eat from any tree? I want you to know how the enemy comes into your life to cause bondage. He always starts with doubt. Because doubt now becomes the breeding ground for deception. Where I can get you to doubt the word of God, where I can get you to doubt the truth, and to now begin to believe the lie. Notice he says here, did God really say that you can't eat from the tree or any tree? We just read here in Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, God told him that they could eat from any tree in the garden except one. Do you see how he's already twisting the truth of God? How he's twisting this narrative? And then Eve responds and says, no. He says we can eat from any tree, but we just can't eat from the tree that's in the middle of the garden, because if we eat it or touch it, we will die. And notice what the enemy says. You won't die. Do you see what he's doing? He is elevating himself above God. He is bringing forth deception to show that his lie is superior to God's truth. Isn't it interesting how that works? Because oftentimes, what will happen in our lives, we will find ourselves in bondage. And at the core of it, it started with us believing a lie. It started with us falling for the trap, being deceived. I want you to know that the enemy is all about deceiving you. He wants to get you to believe his lies as the truth. He wants you to get you, he wants to bring you to this place where you trade in the truth of God for the lie of the enemy. His aim is to deceive you and to get you to believe his lies. But I also want you to know something, that when he does so, and when he brings forth deception, he does so in a way that's attractive to you. So it looks good on the surface. The lie wouldn't be convincing if it didn't look good. It's real quiet right now. You're not going to, he knows that he can't put up a dead end sign when there's a dead end. He has to give the illusion as if it's not a dead end. And so what he's brilliant at doing is creating these false narratives and making them appear as true. And he's been doing this from the beginning, as we see here in Genesis, the beginning. And his master tactic is to get people to fall for deception. It's to get you and I to believe his lies. That's what he does. These are his tactics. And part of the reason why we are deceived is because we don't know his tactics. Do y'all realize that y'all in spiritual warfare with the enemy? Do you realize that he hates your marriage? Do you realize that he hates your guts? I mean, even if you're not saved and don't know Jesus yet, but I believe that you will today. He hates you because you've been created in his likeness and in his image, in the image of God. He hates you because of that. And he will do anything he can to destroy your life. He hates your guts. Every day he plots and employs as to how he can ruin you. And he starts with a lie. He starts with deception. And if you don't know his tactics, he will run amok on your life. He will pull a Golden State Warrior and drop 60 on you. And blow you out by halftime. That's what he will do. He will run you out the gym. And when he does it with three moves. It's not a crossover. It's not a dunk. It's not a jab step. It's not a fadeaway. He's much more subtle than that. He's much more crafty than that. He's much more smarter than that. He's not as obvious when he comes to trick you. Do you want to know how he does it? Here's what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. It says this, for everything in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride in one's possessions. It is not from the Father, it is from the world, meaning it is from Satan. It is from the enemy himself. That's how the enemy gets us. That is how he brings about deception. He has three moves. That's it. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And if you're not aware of these things, you will find yourself in bondage all the time. You will find yourself in a state of destruction on a regular basis because you are taking the bait and don't even realize how he's serving it up to you on a silver platter. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul says something like this in 2 Corinthians 11. He says, we will not be taken advantage of by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. Schemes, devious. That's where we get devil. He's devious with it. He's a slithering serpent. I hate snakes, by the way. Hate them. Because they sneak up on you and they hide themselves well. And that's what the enemy does. Is he hides himself. And he comes to you in very subtle and small ways. So your temptation is not the fruit like it was for Adam and Eve. Your temptation is 5'11" with finger waves. Finger waves. He doesn't tempt you with fruit like he did Adam and Eve. That was their temptation. Here's what he tempts you with. Overtime that will cause you to forfeit time with your family. This is how he tempts you. He tempts you with pornography or with nude images. We don't know what kind of fruit it was. You know, everybody says it was apple. The Bible never tells us that. It was just fruit. I'm glad the Bible doesn't tell us that. Because it shows us that it could be anything. That the enemy will use anything to get you. And I want you to, let me help you understand something. Satan knows exactly what you like, when you like it, how you like it, who you like it with. He likes it. He knows. And I'm just being honest. He knows exactly how to get you and I. He knows exactly what your flesh likes. He knows exactly what catches your attention all the time. And so what he does is he packages it very well. He packages it in a way that will get your attention. So the first thing that he does when he comes on the scene is he raises the question, immediately drawing Eve's attention to the tree that she had no business, and Adam had no business messing with. Did God really say? And then he has the nerve and audacity to say, no, you won't die. He knows that you will be like him, which is a lie. Because if Adam and Eve realized that they were already created in the likeness and image of God, the truth of God, then there's no need for me to have to eat from this tree to try to be like God. I'm already one with God. But what the enemy will oftentimes do is he will bring about deception, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. Those are the three things that he tempts you with. Things that look good to you and I. Things that feel good to you and I. You don't believe me? Notice what verse 6 says. It says, the woman saw that the tree was good for food, lust of the flesh, and delightful to look at, lust of the eye, and was desirable for obtaining wisdom, not the wisdom of God, but trying to get a wisdom outside of God. That's called pride, pride of life. That's how the enemy gets you, with what you look at, what may make you feel good, and what makes you stick your chest out, but causes you to swell up. That's how he gets you. So he gets you and I to believe these lies. These lies about God, lies about ourselves, lies about others. That's what he tries to convince you with believing. So he'll tell you lies like, God doesn't care about you, and he wants to convince you of that. He'll try to convince you of the fact that you are worth nothing. That because of what you did, you don't have a purpose anymore. You don't have a future. He wants to tell you these type of lies to get you to believe them. Then he tries to get you to believe the lies about other people, that everybody's out to get you, that because of how they look, that I can't trust them, or I can't trust anybody because of what somebody did to me years ago. This is how he works. And some of us have been in bondage for something, a lie that we believed, not yesterday, but 10 years ago. Some of us have been walking in bondage for years behind a small little lie that the enemy planted as a child. Some of us have been walking in bondage in such of a capacity because of a lie that we have believed, and it started with something attractive. I want you to know that Satan will often use an attraction to bring about deception. That's how he always does it. And notice what happens here. Adam and Eve, they eat the fruit of the forbidden tree. And the Bible says immediately their eyes were opened and they saw themselves as naked and they were ashamed of themselves and they put on fig leaves on themselves and they hid from God. I want you to see what's happening here. Because when you and I believe the lies of the enemy, when you and I believe the deception, at the core of every bondage there is deception. When we take the bait of Satan and believe his lies, it always leads to damage. That's my second point, if you're taking notes. Amen. It creates damage. It creates a fracture. It creates destruction. It creates problems. And notice what happens in verses 8 through 10. They hide from God. They feel a sense of shame. They put on fig leaves. So here's what's happening. They once were in harmony with God, in love with God, in perfect fellowship with God, but because now they've believed this lie of the enemy, now they feel separated from God. Their relationship with God has been damaged. It's been damaged. How do we know it's been damaged? Because they hide behind trees, and they hide behind fig leaves. They create a barrier. I want you to know something here, y'all. That when we believe the lies of the enemy, when we go down a sinful path and believe these lies, because at the core of every bondage there is some type of deception and it leads to some type of damage. When that happens, it always causes a fracture in a relationship with God. It begins to impose disruptive type of things on our relationship with God, but it also begins to cause a disruption in our relationship with other people. The enemy's job is to disrupt your unity between you and God and you and others. That's his main goal. It's to cause division, to divide and conquer. That's his main goal. To get you arguing with your spouse, to get you arguing with your kids, to get you arguing with your coworker, to get you arguing with your neighbor, to get you arguing with the person that cut you off on Interstate 64 on your way to church this morning. That's his goal. That's his agenda. It's to cause division. It's to cause disunity. It's to cause poison. It's to cause separation. That is what he wants to do. That is the reason why he plants these lies. That is the reason why he plants these seeds of doubt, to cause you and I to experience damage in our relationship with God and with other people. And notice what happens in verse 11. After the Bible says that Adam hides from God, God calls out to him in verse 9, rather. It says, "Where are you?" And God asked this question not because God didn't know where he was. This question was more so for Adam. "Where are you, Adam? What's going on with you? Why have you drifted?" It was more so to put Adam in his place of confession, to bring him to the forefront of his and Eve's sin. Notice what he says. And he said, "I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Why would you have to be afraid of God? Who told you that? Who told you now that you got to doubt God? Who told you not to trust God? Who told you to be afraid of God? Who told you that? Who told you that? Who told you that God was not for you, that I was not for you? Who told you that you couldn't come to me? Who told you that I wouldn't forgive you? Who told you I wouldn't extend grace to you? Who told you that you couldn't experience a new beginning? Who told you that you could not experience my love again? Who told you that? That's what God is asking Adam here. He says, who told you that? He says, "Did you eat from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" And notice what Adam says next in verse 12. "The woman you gave to me," or gave to be with me, "she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate." There is a disruption in the relationship with God. There's a disruption here. Now you got Adam and Eve warring against one another. You see what Adam does here? "This woman you gave me, it's her fault. She gave, it was her idea. It wasn't mine. This woman you gave me." How, that's kind of bold right there. "This one, you gave me her. This is your fault. Ain't nobody tell you to take one of my ribs and then make a woman so that way when I wake up the next day, she's sitting right. Ain't nobody tell you to do that." Right? He's in this place now where he's blaming. He's blaming. He's taking this victim mentality. How often do we take the victim mentality? Right? "Oh, this happened to me. It's not my fault. So I don't take any responsibility for the dysfunction that's in my life or for the bondage that I may be experiencing. So I don't have any hand in it. Yeah. But you believe the lie. And the lie led to this. And then he says, "This woman you gave me, she gave it to me. I just ate it." And then Eve turns around, tells God, "The serpent deceived me. I ain't even know. He just snuck up one day and was just like, hey, what you think about this tree over here? Do you see this?" Everybody's blaming. Everybody's blaming. And I want you to understand something today. And I need you to hear me, and I need you to hear me good. As long as you continue to pass the buck on some of the bondage that you are experiencing, you will continue to stay in bondage. Until you begin to take ownership for some of the things that have happened in your life, even if they are not your fault, "I will no longer stay a prisoner to this. Even if I'm not the reason why this happened, I will not stay here. Until you take it by the horns, and until you take some ownership of it and say, I will no longer be defined by this, you will stay in bondage. And notice here that never happens. So they're fighting against God. They're fighting against one another. And the enemy got them right where he wants them to be. Doubting God, divisive with each other. Doubting God, being divisive with one another. And so Satan is cool with you coming to church on Sunday and performing spiritual calisthenics and clapping your hands and singing about how there's no bondage, because he knows as soon as you leave here, you're going to go not forgive that person. That when you leave here, because of the wound that you're still carrying around, you're still going to harbor resentment in your heart towards that person. He says, oh, come sing about it all you want. I'll come next to you. But I still got you. That no matter how much you shout, no matter how much scripture you know, because you're still believing my lie, I got you right where I want you. Oh, you writing some vision goals down for 2019? Cool, awesome, do it. It'll never happen because you're still believing the lie. You're still being held bondage by this lie. And now I even got you fighting against people that's close to you. Now I affect your interpersonal relationships. Now I got you questioning people, whether or not people are for you. I got you questioning whether or not people love you. I got you questioning this and got you questioning that. I got you right where I want you to be. I got you fighting. I got you bickering. I got you arguing with each other. I got you right where we are. And he's not going to tell you this lie. He's not going to tell you the truth of his lie. Because if he tells you the truth of his lie and the true nature of it, then he knows that you can't be set free. He will never tell you what Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 says. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. He'll never tell you that. He'll convince you in believing that people are the enemy. That your mama and your daddy is the enemy. That your spouse is the enemy. That people around you are the enemy. That your boss is the enemy. He will convince you of all those things so that way you end up fighting a fight that you're not supposed to be fighting. He says, keep on. Yep, yep, they did that to you. Yep, they deserve it. Yep, yep, absolutely. Absolutely, you should be mad. He'll keep all these lies coming your way. You're right. They had it coming. They kind of sound familiar. It's real quiet, but this is what happens. But Paul says our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. What is Paul telling us? That our wrestling and our battle and our war is not with people. We only have one enemy, and his name is Satan. That we don't fight worldly battles, that our fight is not against people. Our fight is not against people that we agree with. Our fight is not against people that we don't agree with. Our fight is not against people that we don't see eye. No. That's not the fight. The fight is with the enemy. And his name is Satan. And as long as you continue to try to fight a spiritual battle with carnal weapons, you will always lose. He says, no, today. No. Keep on believing my lies, because that'll lead to more brokenness. Yeah, I'm gonna just keep on serving it up to you on a silver platter. What lies have you been believing? What lies has Satan been feeding you? Hey, step outside of your marriage because it's gonna be more fulfilling there. Hey, go to that website because it's gonna make you feel good. What lies have you been believing? Don't forgive that person, they don't deserve it. What lies have you been believing? Nah, everybody's against you. Don't trust nobody. Get close, but don't get too close. What lies have you been believing? Because these are the things that he wants to use to create even more damage and fracturing in your life. And the lies that we believe now lead to the bondage that we experience later. How do I know that to be true? Because the lies that you believe yesterday is affecting you today. And Adam and Eve find themselves in this place being damaged. Some of us are there right now. You're in a stronghold. And it's been draining the life out of you. You believe the lie of the enemy that people are against you. And so you've never been able to open yourself up to the redeeming grace and love that can come through people. Some of us have been believing the lie that God doesn't have plans for my life. And so now you've just gone off and just wasted your life on senseless things. We're in a stronghold. and it's affecting you in your everyday living. You're not able to sleep right because you're in a stronghold. You've lost your appetite because you're in a stronghold. It's consuming your emotional energy because you are in a stronghold. It has literally damaged other things in your life. It has damaged your relationships. It has damaged how you view yourself. Because you are in a stronghold, it affects how you view everything. It affects how you view God. It affects how you view yourself. It affects how you view people. It affects how you view the church. It affects how you view the community. It affects everything around you. Because you're not looking at it from a place of freedom. You're looking at it from a place of slavery. You're enslaved. Do y'all know how they train elephants in the circus? Big old elephants, Ringling Brothers, the great showmen. Y'all know how they train them? How they get them to do what they want? They'll tie a rope around their ankle to try to control them, right? And they'll do this for a series of time, a series of months, and they'll just continue to train them and train them and train them, and they'll get them to perform whatever tricks because they're attached to a rope and they're attached to something that really is not that significant. It's really something that's false and really something that's not that strong. And then what happens is they end up taking the rope off of the elephant. And while the elephant is not just free to roam, but had the freedom and the power to be able to snap that rope, but because the elephant has been trained by bondage, even without the rope, it doesn't move. Because it's viewing everything it does from a place of bondage. And that's been some of us. Adam and Eve, it was bigger than them digesting fruit. They were digesting deception. And because you've been digesting deception for so long, it has trained the way you look at everything. So you look at everything through the filter of bondage. You look at everything through the filter of lack. You look at everything through the filter of a prisoner, and you don't even realize it. Some of us have been carrying around bondage and carrying around baggage for years and didn't even realize it. You want to know why you can't get close to people? It's because you believe the lie that you can't trust people. You want to know why it's been hard for you to maybe take some steps forward? It's because you've been believing the lie for so long that you can't move forward past your pain and past your hurt and past what's happened. It's what's kept you there. Even though the enemy does not have any authority over you, all he did was drop a seed of doubt. And we consume it. And we eat it up. And then we stay in this place of bondage. And we stay damaged. And we stay in this place of being a prisoner. And then we just live our lives from this posture and this position. Every year, we start off the year the same way. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. By February, you have it. Maybe because it's coming from a place of bondage. Maybe it's because it's coming from a place of a stronghold. But here's the good news. In the midst of the deception and in the midst of the damage that deception has caused, for every bondage, there is deliverance. For every bondage, you can be set free. For every bondage that you got sexually, you can be set free. I'm just being real. Some of us right now, man, we're in bondage to a lot of things. We're in bondage to some porn. We're in bondage to some alcohol. We're in bondage to toxic relationships. We're in bondage to all those things. But Jesus says, I want to set you free. That no longer do you have to be a prisoner to the lies of the enemy. That no longer do you have to be in bondage to the things that have happened to you. No, 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 no. No, God says, I want to set you free. That no matter the bondage, that no matter the circumstance, you can experience his deliverance. And that's what you see happen here in Genesis chapter 3. Because in verse 21, after God has this conversation with Adam and Eve and talks about the consequences of their sin, because I want you to know something, that for every sin, there has to be some type of a consequence. And God is a holy God and he's a righteous God. And he has to judge our sin. He has to judge our disobedience. But here's the good news. In the midst of that, he still offers deliverance. He says, I'm holy and I'm righteous and I got to deal with this, but the way I'm going to deal with this is through something that I call grace, freedom, deliverance. Look at what verse 21 says. I love it here because in verse 21, the Bible says that the Lord God made clothing from skins for the man and his wife, and he clothe them. Why is this so profound? Remember what happened earlier in Scripture. Verses 8 through 10, the Bible says that Adam and Eve, they saw their nakedness. They were filled with shame, and they hid from God. What did they do? They sewed up fig leaves for themselves. Sewed up, they had no sewing machine back then. They sewed them things up. Fig leaves. But here God gives them something better. He gives them clothing. And the Bible is very descriptive with this language. It says that he made garments or clothing from skins. What skins? What skins did he use? Skins of an animal. Some of us are looking like, that's gross. Why would he provide clothing like that? No. It was something more significant there. That God was covering them, even though they tried to cover themselves. I want you to know something. When you're in a place of bondage, the worst thing you can do is to try to set yourself free. You can't. No. It takes God stepping in. And I'm grateful and I'm so glad about the fact that even though me, like Adam and Eve, I drifted away from God and I ran from God because of my brokenness and because of my sin, because I believed a lie, God still came and found me. But he says, I'm not going to leave you in your place of brokenness and bondage. No. I'm going to bring forth some deliverance. So the Bible says that he makes garments of skin or out of skin for them, garments of clothing. Why is this so profound? Because throughout the Old Testament, the way in which God established a system for the sinfulness of people to be atoned for was through the blood of an animal, which also points us back to Genesis, that in order for God to cover Adam and Eve with the skins of an animal, that means an animal had to die. And in the Old Testament, the only way the sins of the people were atoned for, it happened once a year called the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, if you will, was through animal sacrifices. That instead of people dying for their sins, God established a system where animals will be sacrificed for the sins of people. God was foreshadowing something. But it didn't just stop in the Old Testament. Because now when you get to the New Testament, you see a greater picture of God's deliverance. Because just as in the Old Testament, God covered the sins of the people with the blood of an animal, but God said, I got something even better in mind. Amen. I'm going to send a greater sacrifice. I'm going to send a greater covering. I'm going to send a greater deliverance. I'm going to send a greater freedom and that deliverance and that covering and that liberation is going to come in the form of my son, Jesus Christ, who is also, by the way, called the Lamb of God. That just as Genesis teaches us and shows us that Adam and Eve were covered with the skins of a bloody animal, God says, I'm going to cover you with the blood of my son. Amen. The path to freedom is not through an animal. The path to freedom is through Jesus, Amen. The Lamb of God. And why is this so profound? Because Jesus says this in John 8:32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Why is that so profound? Because of what Jesus says in John 14:6. And I love Jesus so much because he says this, I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Set you free from what? From the bondage of the lies that you've believed. You will know the truth. You will receive the truth and it'll set you free. And then Jesus answers the question that many of us will probably ask him. So what is the truth? He says, I am the truth. I am the truth. That when you receive me into your life, when you trust in me, I bring the deliverance that you saw foreshadowed back in Genesis chapter 3 when God the Father covered Adam and Eve with the skins and the garments of an animal. That I am the greater sacrifice. I am the greater deliverance. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the path to experiencing freedom. I am the path to experiencing freedom. I am the path to experiencing deliverance. I am the path to you being set free. Jesus says this is all me. It's found in me. It's not found in anything else. It's not found in a bottle. It's not found in another career. It's not found in a new relationship. It's not found in this. It's not found in that. It is only found in the person and work of Jesus going to the cross, shedding his blood on the cross for your sinfulness and mine. And then on the third day, resurrecting back to life so that you can experience freedom from your bondage. And I want you to know something. If a tomb couldn't keep Jesus in bondage, what makes you think your sin can keep you in bondage? What makes you think that what you did will keep you enslaved? That there is not a single thing that you are experiencing right now that Jesus can't set you free from. I don't care what your stronghold is. I don't care what your addiction is. I don't care if you're addicted to alcoholism. Jesus can set you free. I don't care if you got a sexual addiction. Jesus can set you free. I don't care what happened to you in your past. Jesus can set you free. It doesn't matter what people said about you. It doesn't matter all the things that the enemy has tried to do to cause you harm. Jesus can set you free. Is there anybody here grateful for the freedom that Jesus gives, that no matter what it is that you experience, he can set you free? He says, I want to set you free. The freedom that you've been carrying around, the bondage that you've been carrying around as a child, I want to set you free of that. The molestation that took place in your life that you have not told anybody about, that's been impacting how you live your life today, I want to set you free. The broken heart that you've experienced from year after year, I want to set you free of that. The financial stronghold that you got going on in your life, I want to set you free of that. The marital stronghold that's taking place in your life right now, I want to set you free of that. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. He wants to set you free. And if you don't believe me, take Jesus' words. He says this in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Some of you came in here as a prisoner to so many different things. But Jesus says, I came to pronounce some good news, that today you can experience freedom. That today you no longer have to walk around in bondage to the things of this world. You no longer have to be enslaved to the lies of the enemy, because I have come to set you free. Yeah. He says, you gotta believe it. Yeah. Just receive it. It requires no effort on our part other than the belief. To receive his truth. To believe in his truth. Because when we receive it, and when we believe it, it compels us to walk in it. And some of us have been trying to break bondage by willpower and by strength and by commitment, and it has led to just more bondage and more bondage and more bondage. There was nothing that Adam and Eve could do to get themselves out of the situation that they were in, and it represented all of humanity, because their sin, their disobedience plunged all of humanity into brokenness. But Jesus says, I've come to reverse it. The Bible even says it like this in Romans. It says, the first man, Adam, came, and as a result of him coming, sin now enters into the world. But the last Adam, being Jesus, came to set us free from it. Jesus came to set you free. And this year, he wants you to walk in that freedom, that no longer you would have to believe the lies of the enemy, that you would no longer allow the enemy to shape how you view things and view yourself. No. Walk in freedom. Be free. But my sin is so toxic and is so heinous, and I've done some grimy, nasty, terrible things, ugly things. Let me tell you something. There was nothing uglier than your sin than the cross was ugly itself. The ugliness of the cross overpowers the ugliness of your sin. The strength of the cross breaks the bondage on your life. And no longer do you have to believe this lie. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You do not have to be a slave anymore to your sin, to your brokenness. This is the year in which you break free. I want to quote Jesus' words again. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Not just to set captives free. Not just to open up blinded eyes, to restore sight to the blind. Not just to set prisoners free. But he says this, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And I believe that this year, 2019, is going to be the year of the Lord's favor over your life, where you no longer walk in bondage, where you no longer are a slave, but you are free. Where you now walk in victory. You are loved by God. You have a purpose. You are not what happened to you. You are what Jesus has done for you. That is who you are. And I need you to get this in your spirit. And I'm going to be a motivational coach for the next 5 to 6 weeks in this series. And I'm going to preach to you as hard as I can. And I'm going to get you by the power of God and by the grace of God to begin to trust God in ways that you've never trusted him before. That you will no longer be a victim of things that have happened to you, but you will walk in the victory and in the power and in the freedom of Jesus Christ. That you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. That you are more than a conqueror through him who loves you. That's my prayer and hope for you this season. That this will be the year of the Lord's favor on your life. And this isn't something that just takes place when you turn 30, 25, 45, 55. If you're a teenager, he wants you to walk in this freedom. If you're a young person, if you're a college student, he wants you to walk in this freedom. If you're single, he wants you to walk in this freedom. If you're married, he wants you to walk in this freedom. If you're older, he wants you to walk in this freedom. That it does not matter what your bondage is, he wants you to walk in freedom. He doesn't just want you to walk in freedom, but I believe he wants you to begin to tell other people about their freedom. That you begin to want your family to walk in freedom, your kids to walk in freedom, your friends to walk in freedom, even people that you don't get along with to walk in freedom. That this is the year of the Lord's favor. That this is the year of the Lord's freedom. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, here's the question I'm going to ask you today. What lies are you believing? What lies do you need to be freed from? What lies? What are the lies right now? That you are not valuable? That nobody loves you? That nobody cares about you? That you can't trust people? What lies are you believing about people? What lies do you need to be free from? What animosity are you harboring in your heart right now towards people that you need to be free from? Do you not realize that forgiveness is like drinking poison, but you are the one that drinks it and dies from it? That unforgiveness, bitterness that you're carrying around in your heart is keeping you a slave. And he says, today, be free. Receive my truth. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Husbands, what lie are you believing right now about your wives? Wives, what lies are you believing right now about your husbands? Young people, what lies are you believing about yourselves, about your friends, about your parents? What lies are you believing right now about your coworkers? What lies? Because I want you to know something. God doesn't want your life to be shaped by lies. He wants your life to be shaped by his truth, his word, and his word alone. And today, if you're saying, Pastor Edwin, this is me. For too long, I've been believing the lies of the enemy. I want to pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would set people free. I pray no longer that we would believe lies. I pray no longer that our lives will be impacted by the lies of yesterday.